What is up, my love, and welcome back to the 1% Woman podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because this topic is near and dear to my heart. This is something that I have done so much of my own inner work and inner healing around, and it's a conversation that I had in few of my client calls this week, so I figured I would bring the conversation to the podcast and we would have it here. So today we're going to be talking about the idea or the concept of constantly trying to control the way that other people perceive you. And this conversation is so important because you are likely someone who feels like you've fallen victim to self-abandonment, you're losing your authenticity, you're constantly compromising your own self-confidence and your own self-image in order to be liked by other people. You have like this really loud inner critic voice within your head that you're looking to silence. You feel like you're constantly carrying so much pressure to appear a certain way. And you have this like underlying anxiety, maybe social anxiety, maybe you're isolating yourself. Maybe your relationships feel really surface level and you want a deeper connection. You want to be fully seen and understood for who you actually are. Your life is starting to feel really unaligned, really empty, really unfulfilling because you're not living within your values, you're living through someone else's. And so I'm just really excited for today's episode because it's going to help you heal all of these things. And I first want to talk about some of the things that we often do, some of those coping mechanisms or patterns that we turn to in order to try to control the way that other people perceive us. And there's four main ones that I know I've fallen victim to and that I see time and time again with clients. So the very first one is perfectionism. This is probably the most common one where you are just someone who holds really high expectations for yourself. You're really hard on yourself. You're constantly avoiding vulnerability and you're really triggered by criticism from other people. Any flaw, mistake, imperfection that you have, it is completely consuming the way that you feel about yourself. That's because you are constantly trying to appear perfect because you want other people to see you as perfect. You feel like that's how you're going to be more loved, more accepted by others. The second one is people pleasing. So maybe you're someone who identifies as a people pleaser. You're constantly changing who you are in order to be liked by others, in order to fit in order to make other people happy, in order to earn approval from other people. You're avoiding confrontation. You are someone who just wants and is prioritizing everyone else above yourself because you think that if you know, you prioritize them, that they will like you more. The third one is you're constantly performing. So maybe you're someone who you try to say things in a certain way, or you're almost like faking interest. You're trying to be someone that you're not. You're exaggerating certain pieces or parts of yourself because you think that it's going to make you more admirable for someone else, or it's going to make you fit into this specific group. Maybe you're hiding certain emotions, or you're basically just like walking around with a filter over you all of the time. Or maybe you're chameleoning. You find that you chameleon to the different groups that you're a part of in order to fit in, and you have all these different masks and personalities that sometimes you wear, sometimes you take off, sometimes you put on another one, depending on who you're around. So you're constantly trying to perform for other people. And the fourth one is you are constantly trying to prove yourself. So you're using your achievements. You have this intense desire to be the best. You're constantly competing against other people because it's what makes you feel good enough and what makes you feel worthy in your relationships. And you think that if you are the best, if you are good enough, if you achieve a certain amount, then other people will like you more. So these are some of the common things, the common coping mechanisms and masks that we wear, honestly, to control the way that other people perceive us. Perfectionism, people pleasing, performing, and proving. I find that these are the most common. And the reason that we do this, the reason that we care so deeply about what other people think about us, is because as children, we're all conditioned to believe and create this idea of who we think we need to be and who we cannot be and should not be. And the reason that we learn this is because our relationships, being accepted and being loved and belonging to groups and to other people, is literally within our DNA, our tribal, human, animalistic nature, that we need relationships and we need belongingness and we need love and we need attention in order to survive. Without that, if we are isolated, all alone, if we are rejected or abandoned by the tribe, we will die. And so we will do whatever it takes for us to stay and to fit in and to feel like we belong and to be accepted and loved by other people. So this is conditioning. These are beliefs that we have created around who we think we need to be and who we should not be all the way from childhood. And they become more and more and more ingrained, whether we learn these things through specific experiences that we've had, authority figures who have taught us this is what it means to be a good girl, this is what it means to be a bad girl, or whether it's just by societal conditioning as a whole, right? We have all these social norms or cultural things that we, boxes that we feel like we need to fit ourselves into. And truthfully, that is just pulling us further and further away from our authenticity. I have experienced from my own journey of doing all of this inner work is that it's that disconnection from your authenticity. It's that gap between who you think you need to be and who you actually are and that box that you try to put yourself in that is the true plague to mental health, to loss of identity, to poor self-image, to negative self-talk, because all that it's doing is it is inflating your ego. It is inflating your ego. It's causing you to live from this place of fear and constantly compromise yourself in order to just be liked by others. And like, it's just so toxic. It's just so toxic. And the more that I have reconnected with my authentic self, the easier that it feels to show up confidently, to build a life that is actually aligned for me, aligned with my core values, to create success that feels fulfilling, that feels good, to have relationships where I feel seen and understood and loved and intimate. And it literally, to me, authenticity is the one thing that will be super contagious to every area of your life. So let's talk about how you stop controlling the way that other people think about you. Well, I'm sure you guys already know the answer to this. You have to change the way that you think about yourself. You have to change the way that you think about yourself. You have to start to love yourself. You have to start to feel empowered in who you are. You have to start to know who the fuck you are. And the way that I've been able to do this work for myself is using shadow work. So today I want to dive deeper into what shadow work is, because anytime I talk about shadow work with my clients, they get cold feet. We get a little bit nervous. We're not really sure about shadow work as a whole. There's a lot of like myths out there. It feels a little bit woo woo, but the truth is shadow work is founded by a psychologist, and there's a lot of different methodologies in which you can start to practice shadow work. And it really doesn't have to be as deep or dark or hard or whatever as I feel like we make it out to be. So I want to share with you guys my approach to shadow work kind of from a very like zoomed out bird's eye view. I have a lot of episodes that go really deep diving into shadow work that I really encourage you to listen to. If this is the first time you've ever heard about shadow work, girl, congratulations. I'm so excited for you. Your life is about to change. It is about to transform. Shadow work has completely transformed my life. And as I mentioned, it is backed by like a psychologist literally came up with shadow work. His name is Carl Jung, and I freaking love that man. If I could have a conversation with that man, I would. One of my boyfriend's questions that he asked me when we like first met, he was like, if you could have a conversation with anyone, if you could go out to dinner and have a conversation with anyone in the whole world, who would it be? I said, Carl Jung. I want to pick that man's brain. He is a freaking genius. And I'm so grateful for him for, you know, creating this concept of shadow work, because it really has been super healing to my identity, my self-image, my relationship with myself, and really been the foundation of me being able to build confidence and alignment in my life again and reconnect back with who I truly am and allowing that authentic version of myself to be more fully expressed. So it's obviously still a work in progress. The thing about shadow work is you're never done. You're always doing it. And I just am obsessed with the work. And so because of that, I was like, how can I create the most easy and efficient way to do shadow work where it doesn't have to take weeks, months, days? It can literally be done in an instant, in one conversation, in the matter of one journal session. So without further ado, let's dive right into shadow work, because shadow work is going to be the key to changing the way that you think about yourself. And when you change the way that you think about yourself, you're going to give yourself so much more permission to stop trying to control the way that other people think about you. Okay, so shadow work really truly is simply just healing the wounded parts of yourself that are in your unconscious. And so as we talked about earlier, there are so many parts of you that you have learned are unacceptable, are who you can and should not be. All of those parts have been taken and they have been shoved into your unconscious mind. And so you're not aware of them. You're not aware of them. You are avoiding them. And shadow work is all about going in and learning how to accept them. Because just because we have taken these parts and we have tried to suppress and forget and shove them away, they are in our unconscious mind. They are still a part of us. And our unconscious mind, as I've shared multiple times on the podcast, and you guys probably know, your unconscious mind controls 95% of your daily actions and your daily routines and your daily habits and your thoughts and your emotions and your life. 95% of your life is governed by your unconscious, which means 95% of your life is controlled by these shadows, these unhealed parts, these wounded parts within you. Which is why you have a raging inner critic, which is why your emotions are like a freaking roller coaster, which is why you're stuck in self-sabotaging patterns, which is why you're falling victim to those things like perfectionism and people-pleasing and performing and proving. But when you stop avoiding the parts of you that are within your shadow and you start accepting them, now you no longer need the protection of these parts. And you start unsubscribing from all of those unhealthy patterns that are showing up for you in your life, that are pulling you out of your authenticity. So let's walk through the 4-step process that I use to do shadow work within my own journey and that I use on my clients. Again, this is going to be a very, very, very zoomed out walkthrough of the process. I have another podcast episode that goes much deeper into every single step of this process. So if you're interested in going a little bit deeper into this, I really encourage you to go listen to that episode. But without further ado, step number one is to reflect. So we're going to do a lot of self-reflection to figure out, what is this part of me? What is this part that is hidden within my shadow? This part that feels unlovable, not good enough, unworthy, this quote unquote like ugly or wrong or flawed, imperfect part of me. We need to figure out the part, and we also need to figure out the pain that that part holds. So this is going to be the insecurity, the limiting belief, the story. Maybe it's the unresolved emotion that this part holds. So we're going to look at the part and we're going to look at the pain, and also bonus points if you also want to look at the protector. So as I mentioned before, every part has pain, but also every part in your shadow has a protector. You have created some type of coping mechanism or escapism or mask in order to hide that part because you don't want to face it. So examples, as I mentioned earlier, are perfectionism, are people-pleasing, are performing, are proving yourself, whatever those habits are, whatever that looks like for you, that is a protector part that we can also do a lot of healing around as well. But step number one is just reflection on the part, the pain, and bonus points if you also want to reflect on the protector. The second step that we're going to do is to release. So first we reflect, now we release. We need to release the pain that this part holds by doing subconscious reprogramming to rewire the limiting beliefs, by doing a lot of emotional processing to, you know, do that inner child healing, that past version of you, that child version of you who was taught or told or learned or experienced that this part of you is unworthy or not good enough or flawed or imperfect. What is that pain, that memory, that experience, that conditioning that this part of you is holding onto? This is where we get to do a lot of inner child work. And one of the most powerful questions that you can ask yourself to release the pain that it holds is, who would I be without these beliefs? So without the story that you're telling yourself about that part of you, without the limiting beliefs that that part of you holds, who would you be without these beliefs? And that can help you start to release them. Start to release them. The third step after we release is we get to redefine this part. Now that we can look at this part very neutrally without any type of negative emotional salience or without any type of negative story around it, we get to rewrite the story. We get to redefine the story. You get to ask yourself, how can I now use this part of myself as a gift, right? Because every dark side also has a light side. So what is that light side? And this is where we begin to alchemize your shadows so that you can integrate it into your identity and show up more authentically. So number three is about redefining your relationship with this part of yourself. And step number four is to reveal that part. It's now practicing, okay, how do you integrate this part into your authentic expression? Giving yourself permission to be seen with this part or as this part, or really just being consciously aware of this part so that it's no longer unconsciously controlling you and showing up and sabotaging you in different ways. So step number four is to reveal this part and let yourself, give yourself the permission to be imperfect, to be flawed, to let this part of you be seen. And give it the attention and the acceptance that it needs and deserves. So that is my process of shadow work. That is how you are going to be able to completely change the way that you think about yourself, completely heal your self-image, build that unshakable, unconditional self-confidence and self-love that we are all after here on the journey of inner work. And when you start to change the way that you think about yourself, now you're going to stop controlling or trying to control the way that other people perceive you, because you are going to be so much more reassured in who you are and reassured in your own power and able to stay within your power when you feel triggered to change or act out of character. So that is my very first tip to stop controlling the way that other people think about you. There's also a second tip that I want to share with you guys. This is a conversation I have with a lot of my clients, because this is also a huge key to kind of unlock. If you're struggling to figure out what your shadow is and get into that shadow part, start to ask yourself what you're afraid of by being disliked. What you're afraid of by being, are you afraid to be disliked by others? Are you okay with being disliked by others? Because we need to have the courage to be disliked. Understanding that we are going to be, like, not everyone is going to like us, and that is okay. You're only going to be okay with that if you like yourself, which is why the first step of this process is to do shadow work, to start to like yourself more and strengthen that sense of self-esteem and self-worth. But beyond that, how do we lean into having the courage to be disliked? My first tip for you is recognizing that, like, everyone's perception of you is a reflection of themselves. It's way more a reflection of themselves and their own insecurities and their own wounds and their own personal bias and their own experience and their own view of the world than it is actually the view of you. So everyone's perception of you is more a reflection of them and not a reflection of you. So you can release it. You can let go of it. You can stop trying to control it, because you cannot control other people's perception of you. Number one. Number two is people care way more about themselves than they do of you. And that's the truth. And you are living proof of that. You care way more about yourself than you do other people. The same goes for them. Their psyche works in the exact same way. They're more concerned about how you're perceiving them than how they're perceiving you. Right? It works the same exact way. So people care way more about themselves than they do of you. So again, giving yourself that permission to let go of it, to not let it consume so much of your mental energy. And number three is just using this powerful affirmation that I don't want to be loved for someone that I'm not. I don't want to be accepted for someone that I'm not. I don't want to be liked for someone that I'm not. I don't want to be someone that I'm not. And this was a huge, like, mindset shift for me, because I was starting to really reflect on the fact that caring what other people think of you, I think, is a normal part of being human. And it's something that we're never going to stop doing. So how can I create a powerful reframe around caring what other people think of me so that it feels empowering and it allows me to remain in my authenticity instead of compromise it? Because past Gab 1.0, cared so deeply about what other people thought of me, so I would constantly change and compromise what I thought about myself, my own boundaries, my own values, my own authenticity, in order to fit into the mold or box of who I thought I needed to be, to try to appear perfect, to try to prove my worth, to try to feel like I was good enough, to try to please other people. And it was toxic. And it literally was the core root of developing an eating disorder, burning myself out inside of my business, my anxiety, my mental health, my depression, all the things that I was going through and experiencing 2 years ago that were, it was just like this vicious firestorm. But now I think Gap 2.0, I still care about what other people think of me, but what I want them to think about me is way different. I don't care to change who I am so that they like me more. I want people to look at me and think of me, damn, she doesn't care what anyone thinks about her. I want them to like me for me. I want them to think that I have the most authentic, true, real, raw character. I want to be seen for who I truly am. And the more that I've been able to lean into that when I meet new people, or, you know, even just getting into my new relationship with my boyfriend, my partner right now, we started dating like 6 months ago. Now, at this point, it's like, I refuse to change who I am in order to be liked by him, in order to be loved by him, in order to date him. I only want him to like me for me. And so, yes, I care a lot about what he thinks of me, but not enough to change the way that I think about myself. I prioritize the way that I think about myself before the way that he thinks about me. And I know that the more that I lean into my authenticity, I'm confident that the more that I like myself, the more that confident that I am in myself, the more more highly he is going to think about me. So moral of the story is, a little rant, that I do care what other people think about me, but not enough to change the way that I think about myself. And I want people to think highly of me. And I know that in order for people to think highly of me, I need to think highly of myself. I need to stay true to myself. I need to be myself. So I hope that this episode was super, super helpful for you guys, as helpful as it was for my clients on our calls this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and make sure that you send this episode to someone that you know needs to hear it. Send it to someone who you love for their authenticity, or you want to celebrate their authenticity, or you want to remind them that it is their authentic self that is the most beautiful, the most loved, the most amazing and incredible version of them, and that they don't need to change who they are in order to be accepted or loved or worthy or enough. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If this episode was helpful for you guys, I would really, really appreciate if you could support the channel in any way, whether that's leaving a 5-star review, commenting below, sharing this on your socials, just reaching out to me and letting me know that this was helpful for you guys. I always love hearing from you guys. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.